Which is called Help in Trials. We know that there's a lot of folks in the congregation here, a lot of God's people going through various things, whether they be things health-wise or heartache or various trials and situations. And if you're not going through a situation right now, you will soon, because the believer's either in trouble or in a trial or coming out of a trial, we're in the midst of it. We're either going into one or in the midst of one or coming out of one. It's just part of this life, beloved. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We'll read verses 19 to 39. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 39. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, even so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that which we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of the judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified as an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, that means you were born again, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and more enduring substance. The next five verses is what we'll be looking at tonight. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now people put a lot of confidence in different things. Some people put confidence in their strength. Some people put confidence in their intellect. Some people put confidence in their health. But I want us to think tonight, each one of us who is here and whoever will hear this message, what is your confidence for your eternal soul? What or who is your confidence for your eternal soul? Are you trusting in yourself and the things that you do to get to heaven? Or are you trusting in Christ and Christ alone for all your salvation? And we will see that the people of God trust in Christ alone. In Christ alone for our salvation. And this faith that's being given to us, and through it, we have a full assurance of faith. And it's in Christ. It's only do we have a full assurance of faith because our faith has one object. And that's Christ and Christ alone. And remember that this faith that we have in Christ is a gift from God. God gave it to you. You didn't earn it. You never could. You didn't ask for it. It's a gift. It's a gift. Now, we cried out to the Lord when He made us willing, didn't we? But the gift of faith and repentance comes from God. Comes from God. And the same God who gives us this faith is the same God who we looked at in our Sunday school study this morning. He is the infinite one. The infinite God. He has all power. He has all authority. And again, He is bound to absolutely no one. He's obligated to no one. And the fact that He saves us, beloved, and let us never forget this, the fact that He saves us is an act of His mercy and grace. A sovereign act of His mercy and grace. So let's look at, with that in mind, let's look at verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Now, Paul here, in encouraging the Hebrew believer to preserve in Christ, to keep, he's telling them to keep looking to Christ, to put all your confidence in Him. I'll tell you, if you put your confidence in a man or in yourself, it'll be your ruin. Put all your confidence, all your trust in Christ and Christ alone. And He brings forth the fact, we will see. He brings forth the fact. Look at verse 32 to 34. Paul brings forth the fact that the believer will go through trials and tribulations. No one's going to get through scot-free as a believer. We all go through them. Look at this in Hebrews 10:32. But call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, born again by the Holy Spirit of God, ye endured a great fight of affliction. I was telling Roy a story that Joe Terrell and I were talking about this week. I don't know if it was this way for you all, but after the Lord saved me, and I started going around telling people and my family members that I was saved now, they thought I was crazy. They wondered, what in the world happened to Wayne? What happened to this guy? And it happens that way. People think, they wonder, what happened? Joe and I were talking, and Joe brought up an excellent point, and it's a great illustration. Imagine a world full of people living in the dark. All they know is the dark. They don't know anything else other than darkness. And imagine one man being given the ability to see a light all of a sudden. And he starts telling all those people, I see a light. And they're all, everyone else is, what are you talking? You're crazy, man. We're all born into this world, beloved, dead in trespasses and sin, with no light. With no light. And when God reveals Himself to us, when He reveals Christ to us, we see, we go, the Scripture, this is scriptural, we go from darkness to light. And what do those in the darkness think of us? What? You're crazy. What happened to you? I'm seeing light that I didn't see before. I'm seeing Christ now. Is it so with you? Oh, it's so, isn't it? It's so. And so, note here, you endured a great fight of afflictions. That's trials. That's being tried for what we believe. Look at, partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches for what we believed. And I'll tell you what, you start talking to religious folks about what we believe, and it doesn't take long for them to start throwing reproaches at you. It doesn't take long at all. When you start talking about salvation through grace alone, through faith alone in Christ alone, it does not take long for free will religionists to start throwing stuff at you real quick. And afflictions, it says here, you are made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. Well, we became companions with our brethren. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. The things of this world do not have the hold on the believer they once had. They do not. Everything in this world is going to perish. But our salvation is sure in Christ. Sure, beloved. It's absolutely sure. So Paul is having them remember. He's taking them back. And you've heard me say this many times. Look back and see what the Lord has done for you. See how He's carried you through. And He will continue to carry you all the way to the end till He takes you home. Paul is having them remember the early days of faith, when they endured mocking, when they were ridiculed for their faith, when they had great affliction, when they left the world to walk with Christ. Now we're still in the world, aren't we? But we left the world in that sense, didn't we? Oh yeah. And we know it says here, cast not therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Well, we know who our reward is, don't we? It's Christ. It's Christ. And Christ alone. He's our reward. And I'll tell you what, absolutely nothing in this world compares to Him. Nothing. You could pile all the gold, you know, and people can get happy with having money, right? And you can pile all the silver and all the precious diamonds in this world, and they are absolutely nothing in comparison to our great God. Now, they may make a person happy temporarily, won't they? But they do absolutely no eternal good for that soul. Nothing. But oh, the one who has Christ. As I've said many times, he or she is richer than the richest man in the world. Because they have Christ, which far surpasses all the wealth in this world, which will perish with this world, but Christ is eternal. And so is our salvation, beloved. We have eternal life in and through Christ alone. Let us always remember that. Let us always, as Brother Henry Mahan says, the comforts, pleasure, and fame of this world are soap bubbles compared to the glory of heaven. Soap bubble. Remember a soap bubble? You get a soap bubble, it goes up for a minute and it just evaporates. It just blows up. That's what the treasure of this world, that's what the pleasures of this world is like compared to eternal things that we have in Christ. They're just soap bubbles. Just soap bubbles. Look at it again. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. So I ask you tonight, who is your confidence for eternal life? Who is your confidence for eternal life? If at any point you say self, even a drop of it, then you have a false confidence. You have a refuge of lies. Because the believer's only confidence is Christ. If we have received the gift of God's faith, then our confidence is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it's only in Christ. As I've said many times, He is the only acceptance that the believer has with God. The only way for a sinner to be accepted by God is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Outside of Christ, there is absolutely no acceptance with God. And it's black and white like that. There is no in between. None at all. None at all. And our Lord Jesus Christ, for the believer, oh, He's our reward. He's our exceeding reward, beloved. And those who endure to the end, and we know those who endure to the end are the ones who are kept by God. And we have a full inheritance, beloved. We have a full inheritance in Christ and in Christ alone. Reserved in heaven for us. And it's reserved in a place where you and I can't mess it up. Right? We can get an inheritance in this earth. We can spend it all. But this inheritance can never be spoiled by us. Never. Oh, my. Do you see how it's worth far more than anything in this world? Nothing compares to it. Absolutely nothing compares to it. Let's look at verse 36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Now God's children go through many difficult and painful trials during this short pilgrimage on our way to eternal glory. And these trials are real. They're real. As I said earlier this morning, don't ever downplay something somebody's going through because it's real. It may seem easy for you what someone's going through, but that trial for them may be very, very difficult. See, where you're strong, they may be weak. And where they're strong, you may be weak. And we know that all of us are weak in our own doings. We all need grace and strength, don't we? Every one of us. Every one of us. So don't ever downplay what someone's going through, because trials are real and they're hard and they're painful. They're painful. Have you ever considered that no child of God is exempt from trials? Sometimes when we're in a trial, we think we're all alone. We think, Lord, I'm the only one who's ever gone through this. No. 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 We're not the only ones who've ever went through these things. And trials can come in the form of health trials. There can be trials of the mind. There can be trials of the heart. There can be trials in all aspects of our life, beloved. But have you ever considered what these trials that we go through, what they do? Have you ever considered what they do? Here's a couple points. Trials we go through test our faith. Trials we go through in this world, after the Lord has saved us, they try our faith. If you profess to believe God, that trial will be, that faith will be tried. It will be. It will be tried. It'll be tried to see if it's God-given faith, if it's genuine. And life's trouble tend to bring out the authenticity of our faith, or else they uncover a false faith. That's what trials do. I can't tell you how many people I've seen who profess Christ, and a trial come and they are just gone. Gone. When trials sweep upon us, it is as if, as one commentator says, it is as if the Master says, will ye go? Will you also go away? But by His grace, what do we answer? Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where would we go? We have no other refuge, do we? We have no other refuge. Trials, second point is trials drive a believer to seek the Lord's face. I remember talking to Sister Marge before she died, and she told me, she said, Brother Wayne, I thank God for my cancer because it's drawn me closer to Christ. It's drawn me closer to Lord. Only the grace given by God can have a saint say that. My. But it does. Trials draw us closer to God. And we know that by experience, don't we? We know that. They draw us closer to God. It is in times of trials that we often seek shelter in His arms. We spend more time with Him often when we go through trials. We spend more time with Him who has loved us and gave Himself for us. The next thing to consider is trials lead believers to consider that eternal day. That eternal day when there will be no more trouble. When there will be no more trouble. When there will be no more tears. No more tears. When we will see our Savior face to face. Trials make us think about those things. Think of that. In glory, we will have nothing to occupy our hearts or our minds except the majesty and glory of our great God. Forever. That's something to think about when we're going through a trial, when we're going through a situation. We will see He who has put away our sins. And we will gaze upon Him who satisfies divine justice in our place. Another thing that trials do, that we go through in this life, trials that we go through in life, prepare us for those trials which shall come tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow holds. God knows. But the trials that we went through prepare us for tomorrow's trials. Or the next day. Or the next day. Think of this. If we read the life of Abraham, we'll see that after he left the Ur of Chaldees, he experienced one trial after another, didn't he? You find that if you read the life of Abraham. He experienced one trial after another. And each of those trials prepared him for what most commentators consider to be the greatest trial of them all. Take now thy son. Take now thy son, Isaac, thy only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. So all those trials Abraham went through prepared him. He trusted God, didn't he? He trusted God. And our trials teach us to trust the providential care of our great God, beloved. We learn through trials that our God is truly sovereign. We see His hand. We see His hand at work over all the trials and tribulations of this life. And as a result of that, the believer learns to trust Him more and more. Because we grow in our faith, don't we? And we trust Him more. We can look back and say, Lord, You took me. That was a mountain that I faced. And when I saw that, I trembled in fear. And yet You took me right through it. Time and time and time again. And here's the next point. And I want us to turn to Isaiah 43 for this one. Isaiah chapter 43. Our trials that we go through, you know what it does? Our trials are times when God proves His faithfulness. When God proves His faithfulness to His people. Look at this in Isaiah, and think of this in light of this text we'll look at. Our trials are times when God proves His faithfulness. Look at what the Scriptures say here in Isaiah 43. And we'll read verses 1 to 3. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not. What precious words right there. For I have redeemed thee. Christ Himself purchased us with His own precious blood. God incarnate in the flesh. I have called thee by thy name. We're called with an effectual calling, aren't we, beloved? Thou art mine. What a tremendous scripture right there. God says to His people, you're mine. I bought you. I've called you. And you're mine. And we know we're His by creation, but we're His by purchase too. Because Christ has purchased us with His own precious blood. And look at this. What a comforting verse, verse 2. And think of this in light of all the trials. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. How many times in the storms of life have we thought we're just going to drown? Look at this. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God. That's who our Savior is. Look at this again. The Holy One of Israel. Thy Savior. And every believer can look at this and go, this is my God. The Infinite One is my Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom and Ethiopia and Sebia for thee. So God proves His faithfulness to His elect, to His people. Time and time again when we go through trials, He proves His faithfulness to us. All through this life, God's faithfulness becomes evident to His chosen people. And think of this. The trials we experience allow us to comfort others going through that same trial later. I know we've all experienced this before. There'd be some trials that you feel are unique to yourself, and then later on you find out that you're able to comfort someone else going through the same trial. It's absolutely incredible. It's absolutely incredible. Now, when we're going through a trial, We don't ever think when we're, because no one likes, as I mentioned earlier today, no one likes going through trials. I don't know anyone who likes going through trials. When we're going through a trial, though, we don't ever think of these things. But again, a trial that we've experienced enables us to be a benefit to others, to say to our brothers and sisters in Christ, God was faithful to me. He will be to you too. He took me through all that. He took me through all that. And you can be a comfort to those who are called to endure a similar trial. And it is only after God has graciously seen us through a particular affliction or a particular trial that we can encourage others. Again, speaking of His faithfulness, speaking of His support while we were going through that, and speaking of how He sustained us. See, the Lord Jesus Christ, He died on Calvary's cross for us, didn't He? He suffered the wrath of God in our place for us. He did that. He redeemed us, as we saw in the Scripture there. He purchased us with His own precious blood. But beloved, He also keeps us. And one day He will present us faultless before His throne. And see, all through this life, we have testimonies of the faithfulness of God. And as I said, when you go through something, and you're not thinking, well, that, you know, it could be a blessing to someone later on. But oh my, it happens a lot. It happens a lot. And how honoring it is to our Lord when His afflicted children, by patient endurance, give evidence of the reality of the sufficiency of His grace. Because at the end of that trial, who gets all the glory? God. We give Him all the glory. We give Him all the praise. Oh my. And the sufficiency of His grace becomes a reality for us. It's manifested for us. It's useless to talk about God's sovereignty and authority and providential care if when trials come we complain and like the men of the world, we just go to pieces. No, God gives us grace, doesn't He? He gives us grace to endure the trials and tribulations that come our way. Now, we may get rattled, and we often do. We often do. But have you ever noticed that God gives you grace to make it through that trial or that situation? Oh, He keeps us. He keeps us. He gives us grace to help in time of need, just as the Scripture declares. Just as the Scripture declares. Oh, may God give us grace to believe and to trust and to rest in the Lord who maintains our cause no matter what we're going through. Who governs all things. And we know He's working everything together for His own glory. For His own glory. And for the good of His chosen people. And we cry out with Peter, don't we? Lord, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief, Lord. So let us never forget that every step we take is according to God's sovereign will. It's not by chance that we are all gathered together here. When we were born, none of us knew each other, did we? We didn't know each other from Adam. You all were down here in the States. I was up in Canada. We had no idea that God would bring us together by His sovereign will and by His sovereign decree to be here tonight together. Isn't that incredible? But it's true. It's true. He works all things together for His own glory and for the good of His chosen people. And by His sovereign will, our God chose us in Christ. By God's sovereign will, we are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by God's sovereign will, we are bought into a union with the Lord Jesus Christ. All by God's sovereign. And by God's sovereign will, He gave us the gift of faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. All by His sovereign will. All by His sovereign will. Look at verse 37. For yet a little while, and He that shall come will come and will not tarry. This speaks of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. He's coming again. He's coming again, and He's coming at His appointed time. And He shall come, and He will not tarry. Now, He can't come before His appointed time, right? Because there's a time appointed for Him to come. But, beloved, He will not be 1 second later than the appointed time of His return. None of us know when it is, but He knows. And so think of this, knowing that all our sufferings will soon be over. Because our life is but a vapor. And by the gift of God's faith, we patiently wait for this promised return of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? And here is a promise by which the Holy Spirit inspires our perseverance. For we know that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, He will put an end to all the suffering and death and all sorrow. Turn, if you would, to Revelation 21. Revelation 21. And then we'll go back to Hebrews 10. So keep your fingers in there. Look at this. Revelation 21, verses 4 and 5. What a glorious day this will be. Now think, this world is a world of veil of tears, isn't it? Suffering. Things we go through. Things our loved ones go through. Look at this, though. And God shall wipe away, verse 4 and 5, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, no sorrow at all in glory, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, no pain at all. For the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And they come from the One who is true and faithful. My. Can we even imagine a world or a place where there's no sorrow? Where there's no death? Where there's no crying? Where there's no pain? The older I get, I wake up in the morning, the sorer I am. Is it so for you? Yeah. No pain. The former things are passed away. My. Let's go back to our text in Hebrews 10. We'll look at verses 38 and 39. We'll read these two together. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So let's consider verse 39 first. I'd like us to look at verse 39 before we look at verse 38. Now those spoken of in verse 39 who draw back to perdition, they're not God's elect. They never were given They were never given the gift of faith. They professed faith in Christ. They're the same ones spoken of in Matthew chapter 7, who said, "Lord, Lord, have we not done all these wonderful things in your name?" And the Lord said, "I never knew you." We know in our study, turn if you would to 1 John, we know, and we'll see this soon in our study in 1 John, we're closing in on this scripture within the next few weeks. And look at this in 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 to 20. And these would be those who are spoken of even in our text in Hebrews 10:39 there. And remember, anything that's against Christ is antichrist. Anything that's against Christ is antichrist. So salvation by man's work is antichrist. Anything against Christ is antichrist. Anything that adds to Christ is antichrist. Look at this in 1 John 2, verses 18 to 20. "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that antichrist shall come, even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." Now let's go back to our text in Hebrews and we'll see the correlation. Hebrews chapter 10, I'll read verses 38 and 39 again. "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition." We're not of them who leave the preaching of the gospel, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Why? Because we have an unction from the Holy One. We have an unction from the Holy One. So we see in the latter part in verse 39 there that those who are truly born again by the Holy Spirit, those who have true saving faith in Christ, are not of them who draw back into perdition, because the scripture ends here, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. The believer keeps trusting. The believer keeps resting in Christ. The believer loves the gospel. He loves the word of God. He or she. They love God's people. We just keep on keeping on only because the Lord keeps us going. He keeps us. He holds us. He keeps us. We don't draw back. Now let's consider verse 38. It says, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." So verse 38 here tells us that the just live by what? Faith. Faith. What then is true saving faith? Well, turn to Hebrews chapter 11, right? Just right there, either on your page or right over it. Let's read the first three verses. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." If you can see something, you don't hope for it, because you see it. We can't see Christ, but He's our hope. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Hebrews 11:1 gives us the definition of faith. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Hebrews 11:3 helps us to understand verse 1. "Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Creation reveals God's handiwork. It reveals God's handiwork. That's the substance of creation. It will never reveal Christ, but it reveals that there's a Creator. And we know who the Creator is, don't we? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It's the one who was made flesh. You know, if I had a nickel for every time I heard someone say that they don't need to go to church, that they can just, and I used to hear this all the time out in Oregon, oh my, I can just worship God in nature. They say I can go out under the stars and worship God. Or I can go up into the mountains and worship God. Or I can go by a flowing stream and sit there and worship God. I'd be a rich man if I got a nickel for him every time someone said that. You know that unsaved man? We know unsaved men don't worship God. They don't worship God. And we know that God will not accept worship from an unregenerate man or woman. We know that. What's our acceptance with God? Christ. Christ and Him alone. And all our worship, all our praise comes to God through Christ. We're regenerated. We're born again of the Holy Spirit of God. He's the head, we're the body. Unregenerate men and women do not bow down to Christ. They don't confess Christ as Lord of all, but God's people do. But beloved, always remember this, under the preaching of the gospel, God the Holy Spirit gives His chosen, blood-bought children faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture declares this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. And then a little further down in John chapter 1, it says, and the Word, the one who created all things, the one who spoke everything into existence, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory, His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Wonder of wonders, that same little baby that was born of a virgin is God our Creator. God our Creator. And let me tell you, you will not learn that truth out in the woods or in the mountains or by a stream or looking at the stars. It must be revealed to you. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 11. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And look at verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is it that the true followers of Christ hope for? When a believer receives the gift of God's faith, what are some of the things that fills our believing heart? Beloved, if God the Holy Spirit has given us true saving faith, then He has convicted us of sin, of our sin, of our false righteousness, and of the judgment that's to come. And the believer's hope is in Christ alone, nowhere else. And in Christ we have received a full pardon from God of all our sins. And the believer's hope is in Christ alone. We have received the righteousness that makes us acceptable in God's sight. And again, that righteousness is the righteousness of Christ. And the believer's hope today, and at the great white judgment throne, is Christ and Christ alone. We will hear from our great God on that great day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Every one of God's blood-bought people will hear those words. And we know the only reason we will hear those words is because of Christ and because of what He's done for us. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 4. The believer's hope is eternal salvation, a longing for heaven, Are you homesick? Every believer is homesick for heaven, aren't we? Oh my. We have a desire to see Christ in all His glory. We have a desire to enjoy His presence forever. As I said, this world doesn't have the grip it had on us at one time. And Christ is not just our hope right now. He's our hope every day. He's our hope every day, isn't He? Every single day. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is our evidence? What is the proof of these things that we hope for? God Himself. God Himself. The promises of those things we hope for come from God, who cannot lie, and He reveals these truths to His elect. To His elect. How? Under the preaching of the gospel. See, that's what I said. Christ won't be revealed to you out in nature, but He will. If you're one of God's people and He chooses to reveal Christ to you, He'll be revealed to you through the preaching of the gospel. Through the preaching of the Word of God. Through the preaching of salvation in Christ alone. You can gaze at the stars every night. You can visit mountains. You can sit down by an ocean. You can sit down by a river hour after hour and never hear the gospel. Never receive the faith of God's elect, and you perish in your sins. Why? Because of your unbelief. Because we're sinners. Now let's, with that in mind, let's look at Romans chapter 4, verses 19 to 25. And we know that Abraham was a man of faith, and he believed God. He believed God. He believed that God was able to perform that which He had promised to do. Look what the Scripture says about him in Romans 4. We'll read verses 19 to 25. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. He had seen God's faithfulness in his life. He had seen God's faithfulness through all those trials he went through. And he knew that God was able to perform what he promised. He knew. He knew that. Look at this. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him. Do you believe on Christ? That raised up Jesus, our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and what? And was raised again for our justification. My. Beloved, all works religionists, including those who are trusting in their so-called free will, you know what they do? They frustrate the grace of God. They do not believe that Christ was delivered for their offenses. They do not believe that Christ was raised for their justification. No, they are trusting in a refuge of lies. They are trusting in their own self-righteousness, which will lead to their doom. If God leads them there, those of us who came out of religion, we just praise God He didn't leave us there, right? Oh my. I wouldn't have known no different. Even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, we praise God He didn't leave us there. But we wouldn't have known no different. And we'd have perished in our sins. But we've obtained mercy. We've been given grace. God's grace has been bestowed upon us. We've been given faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at our scripture again in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Note, believers are called the just in this verse. That's amazing. We who are saved sinners are called just. Just. And we know that God justified His people when our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. We saw in Romans chapter 4 that he was raised for our justification. Beloved, we are the justified ones. God's law and justice has been satisfied for us in our, with Christ dying in our place. The Lord Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. Christ cried, "It is finished." He cried, "It's finished," because He had by Himself purged all our sins. He cried, "It is finished," because He had obtained eternal redemption for us. He cried, "It is finished," because He had purchased our eternal souls with His own precious blood. The work of redemption was finished. And God is satisfied. Oh, the glorious truths of the gospel. They are evidence of things not seen, aren't they? The glorious truths of the gospel are evidence of things not seen. This is the faith of God's elect. We believe Jesus Christ, our sovereign Creator, the true and living God, our sovereign Creator, became bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, so that He as a man could redeem us. How? With His own precious blood. So the question comes before us, do you believe these truths that have been brought before you tonight? Has God the Holy Spirit enlightened your mind? Has He given you the gift of faith to believe the one true gospel of His amazing grace? Are you born again of the Holy Spirit of God? This gospel, beloved, points us to the very reason God has mercy on hell-deserving sinners. This gospel brings great joy to the hearts of God's born-again people, because this gospel points us to the perfect, redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior on Calvary's cross. Acts 13:48 says this, "And when the Gentiles heard this," meaning the gospel, meaning salvation in Christ alone and through Christ alone, "they were glad." This gospel turns the sinner's sorrow to gladness. They were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. We give Him all the glory, don't we? "And as many as were ordained to eternal life," what did they do? They believed. They were granted faith to believe. And they believed. They looked to Christ. They looked to Christ. And we who are the born-again, blood-washed saints of God, we have much to rejoice in when we consider all that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. When we consider that we are justified and that we are absolutely accepted by God in and through Christ alone, we have much to rejoice in. May God be glorified through the preaching of His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for allowing us to gather together here tonight. Oh, what a wondrous salvation this is, O Lord. Oh, what a wondrous salvation this is that we have, that Your people have in You. We just look to Thee, O Lord. We look away from ourselves and we look to Thee. You are the only Savior of sinners. And we are but saved sinners. And we rejoice just like the Gentiles did. We are Gentiles ourselves, O Lord, but we rejoice. We who have believed upon Thee, it makes our hearts glad, fills our hearts with gladness. O Lord, if there be any who hear this message that do not know Thee, O Lord, if there be one of Your lost sheep, may it be a day that You draw them to Thee, O Lord. We love You and we praise You. We thank You for Your goodness and mercy and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.